Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, Sports City. It's your boy TP Timeless back at the helm, holding it down for the next 60 minutes so we can go enjoy a heck of a sport night or sport week here in Sports City. Welcome to the Monday Night Sports Wrap-Up. I done took off his blazer, loosened up the tie, stepped aside. The Kitchen Timeless is alive.
Feel it coming in the air.
Yeah. I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair. Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind is who's gonna run this town tonight. Who's gonna run this town tonight? We gonna run this town.
We are, yeah, I said it, we are. This is Rock Nation. Pledge your allegiance. All black, everything. Black cars, all black, everything. And our girls are black birds, riding with they Dillinger. I can't more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is not familiar, I'll explain later. But for now, let me get back to this paper. I'm a couple bands down and I'm trying to get back. I gave the grip, I lost a flip for 5 stacks. Yeah, I'm talking 5,60, got 0, hit up. Back to running circles round, niggas, now we squared up. Hold up.
Okay, the call-in number is 917-889-9592. You got the next 60 minutes locked and loaded with Sports City. Y'all could have been anywhere else in the world, but y'all are here with the chef. Sports City, I'm going to say it like this. You know, as of yesterday, you know, things went down, and I'm not going to give too much of the dishes that we got because we got to feed the people. We got to feed the people. Oh, yeah, sportscitychefs.com, that's the website. You already know. But I'm happy, and I'm going to actually spill a little bit out on people's plate before we get started. My Hurricanes are getting top 10 consideration. Yes, we are top 10 considered. I like it. I'm feeling some type of way. I'm a little frustrated with how Sunday went down, but I'm happy my green and orange are getting top 10 consideration. Okay, so let's get into it, Sports City, because I am happy to see this right now. Calling in by way of the Virginia region of the United States of America, my brother, my co-host, Tommy B. Welcome to the wrap-up. How are you feeling this evening?
I'm actually better than what I was yesterday because my picks were freaking god-awful. God-awful. But we're going to get into that.
Okay, you know, well, I won't spill too much. I know this is something that we'll end up talking or discussing, you know, midway through this show or hell, definitely in the cookout, because I like seeing this right now, I feel it some type of way. But I'm trying not to get too pumped because this is a hell of a, what, the next 4 or 5 days before we see Saturday. So I'm going to try to keep my lips buttoned as much as possible on that note. Speaking of which, it's the wrap-up, so we got a lot of stuff to dive into that happened from this weekend coming into this sport week. All across the board, we have news. The NBA preseason has opened up as well. Tommy, where would you like to start first? I know that we have a couple of dishes that we talked about in the green room before the show started that you would like to jump into as well.
Yeah, there's a lot of shakeups after yesterday in the Major League Baseball. I mean, you can hit on them if you want. I mean, Colorado Rockies and Walt Weiss have split ways. He will no longer be the manager. In the same division, the Arizona Babybacks have fired the GM, Greg Stewart, and co-manager Howe. They're moving on to a different direction, move more east to Chicago. Ventura came out with it after the game, announced he will not be back. So they will have a new manager in Chicago. And this actually broke tie right when the green room opened. We were talking. I got it, and I also seen it on TV, where the Miami Marlins are parting ways with their hitting coach, Barry Bonds. He will not be back next season in Miami.
Okay, I've seen the Barry Bonds situation. where would you like to start? You already got a full plate, so I'm loving this. I'm loving this. So where would you like to start? Anywhere across the board.
Diamondbacks.
Say that again, please.
I said I haven't even hit the playoffs yet.
So let me know where you like to start. Anywhere you like to start, we can go there.
Let's start in Colorado because whoever takes this job in Colorado, or even in, I'll even put Arizona in this same category, but not as much as Colorado. I don't ever see anybody really having a fair shot in Colorado to actually win with that ballpark. I mean, all you got to do is hit it just enough. That ball's flying out of that ballpark. So you're not getting the pitchers. I mean, you're not going to get a Bumgarner, a Madison, the leave San Francisco to come there. You're not going to get one of these top-name pitchers that are on the market to come out there. Because their ERA, I mean, if you got an ERA, so like you finish an ERA with 2.9 or 2.29 in Colorado, and you come out there, you might as well guarantee your ERA is going up to at least three something. I just don't see whoever takes that job, they better be ready because their offense is fine. They have offense. It's just pitching. And I don't ever see them ever getting top name pitchers.
Well, not only do they need defensive pitchers to not only close the door on some of these batters, they also need hitters, man. I mean, they watch a lot of players walk in and out of that door and watch some of their big guns go to other teams and help contribute, a.k.a. to Lewitsky. I mean, I hate to be kind of, biased and also watching Morneau as well, not really be as impactful and catching him at the end of his stint as well. I really can't think of anybody that can help put runs on the board and be as, I don't really want to call it lucky, as they were in 2008 to make and have the door shut on them by the Boston Red Sox, which another team that Poppy was a part of. But, I mean, the Rockies have been to this point before. I can think back to the Dante Bichette days when these guys actually played good back then. And also, like I said, 2008. But this is 8 years past since they've been to that World Series, and they are the bottom feeders of the NL, the NL West. And Walt Weiss being one of the guys that I think actually led that clubhouse in getting these guys up. They only gave them a four-year window to try and rebuild things, and you got to look at the GM or management to try and corral players to come there. And a lot of players aren't trying to leave where they are, comparable to what's going on in Colorado with the Rockies. So this is a tough situation. It's going to take a strong-minded skip or manager to come there and get things turned around out there in Colorado.
Ty, they've got Carlos Gonzalez, Duke and Rake. They've got Trevor Story. I'm still saying that's why they made that trade. They knew when they got rid of Tulowitzki, they knew what they had coming up in the farm system with Trevor Story. Plus, they've got, I mean, the center fielder they've got's not bad, leadoff hitter. Their third baseman, Arrieta, or however it's pronounced, he's a beast. I mean, they've got the hitting's not bad. It's the pitching. And I don't ever see them getting that in Colorado.
And the third baseman you're talking about is Nolan Arenado that they have there. And he was hitting the ball early. And also, when we started the season out in the baseball season, where Story actually was completely slamming the ball. But, that Story kind of died down. And no pun intended with saying Story. But, that aura actually died down and at least helping them win games out there in the NL West. Still with these guys hovering around, the bottom of the division, they have to have some type of climb to get out of there. I still think that they will continue to look up at those three teams out there in the West. I still think that's their situation out there. I think the Padres may turn their thing around before the Colorado Rockies do. And I feel like I'm not even fair in saying that, but I think it's at least the Dodgers and the Giants for sure. I think the Padres will definitely get their thing together, and we have to see who they bring to hold that clubhouse down. Let's just say building off of Gonzalez that you mentioned, Arenado and Story, and go from there. I think all three of these guys are young talents. I don't know if these guys are, pieces that you build to get to the postseason, to say the least. I don't want to say World Series or win an NLCS. I want to be fair in that retrospect.
And there's news coming out of Atlanta that the Braves will be interviewing Ron Washington, former manager of the Texas Rangers, and Bud Black, former manager of the Padres. I'd like to see them keep who they had after they got rid of the guy they got rid of. I really would. See what he can do in a full season.
See, now, here's the interesting thing to me. Washington has been proven to help teams get to the postseason. Now, not just saying them getting to the World Series, because Texas has been there, but let's just say the postseason. Atlanta needs to see that. And not to just be, biased to, Matt or people that I know that are Braves fans, but they were spoiled for, 19 years of knowing that they were going to get to the postseason with the players that they had a part of their organization, or hell, just looking at their rotation, being scared of Glavin, Maddox, just thinking of the four that they had coming up there on the bump to get things done. Now these guys are sitting at the bottom of the NL East and looking up at everybody, and they coming up, just like you said, with the interim guy that they have there in Snicker. He's actually helped them win their last couple of games and actually hurt the Detroit Tigers' chances of getting to the postseason as well. So it would be interesting if they did hang on to the interim and Brian Snicker, but Washington actually has a proven resume right now. I think everything else is more or less we have to see what's going to go on, but if they were to go outside the box and get away from Brian Snicker, I think there's no question that they go with Washington right now.
I mean, the Braves were actually, if you look at their record after the All-Star break, they actually had a winning percentage. They were actually not bad after the All-Star break. So, I don't understand why they need a new ballpark, personally. That's mind-blowing to me, because they literally just opened that ballpark 10 years ago. That ballpark, Turner Field's only 10 years old. It was opened 2016. And you need a new ballpark for what reason?
Well, the Turner family has money. they got money to burn. They can do that. And if they're not impressed with Turner Field, then it's understandable. But I think with them looking across the city or across the state, across the city, with the Falcons getting a new stadium built, the underground stadium that they're having built for the Atlanta Falcons, I think that they're trying to get the whole rebuild of the whole city all together, try to build jobs across the city, which is understandable. I understand in that nature. But I think it's the old mystique of Turner Field that you would want to see them get things done. But I think the fan support really wasn't there on a game-by-game basis. And you got to blame some of the management while watching a lot of their talent go out the door. A lot of people were concerned on coming back to Turner Field. So I think they need a new draw to get people to come and see the Braves product that they're putting out there on the diamond and try to start getting some wins, because they're in a top-heavy division in the NL East. They have to worry about the Nationals. They have to worry about the Mets. At least looking at those two, I think it's still a hit-or-miss situation with the Phillies, to see if the Phillies can crawl out of this situation. But the Braves have always been atop this division, and they have to see this get done. I think it's going to have to start with the fans, coming there and trying to get the crowd involved, and then build from their farm system or whatever trade they can get to come down to Atlanta. I think this is definitely a 2 to 3 year, process that they're going to have to wait on. But we'll see what Washington could get done, because Washington was able to do it with, you know, instrumental pieces in Texas while he had to deal with some injuries down there as well. So I think he could be the man to do it. But if they sit with the interim manager, I want to see how long that he can get the job done, how long of a leash that they do have for him to get the job done down there in Georgia.
One more, and then if you want to move on, we can. There, we talked about this earlier in the season. It's starting to pick up more noise. The Pittsburgh Pirates have put out a memo. It has been reported on the certain two networks that the Pittsburgh Pirates are open when the off season, to make a deal to trade away McCutchen. I think this is dumb. I said it earlier in the season. I mean, he does so much work for the city. He's a all-star. I'm very interested to see if they do trade him, to who and what they get back, because you better get some talent players back. And not anybody that you put down in my book, not anyone you can throw down there in the minor system and have to wait for them. You better get talent back that can play right now, not someone you've got to build and watch in the farm system.
Now, here goes the interesting situation, because I don't want to, even though if I was off air, I would say the exact same thing that Tommy said, but I'm actually going to, like, clean it up a little bit. I'm going to say that's disrespectful. I mean, yes, a lot of people are saying, well, Tommy actually brought this to my, my presence as of yesterday, and we discussed it. And the people I were around, I was like, well, what are you thinking? They was like, well, he didn't really have a good season this year. I'm like, okay, he's not entitled to one down season. He's not entitled to have one down season, and you're going to end up sending him somewhere. And to me, I think we can actually start to see the fall of the Pirates. As soon as they started to get good play and have, postseason presence, whether they made it or not, this was a team that you worried about at least getting close to the end of August to September to see what type of run they can make. You're going to send your best player somewhere else, and it'd be crazier if they sent him somewhere within the division, somewhere within the NL East, and he went and made a difference. You know what I'm saying? Or, i.e., looking at a team like the Yankees, who would sign a guy of his caliber and try to get things done. They just lost Carlos Beltran. You know what I'm saying? So, to get a guy like McCutchen out there in New York and try to get things done, that would be big or huge. But I want to see what teams are actually fess up and try to go after him and try to go, you know, big piece for big piece. Because, you know, Pittsburgh is definitely going to want an interesting piece to their puzzle in replacement of McCutchen. If not, and they start to look within the farm system or within the draft that's upcoming, I definitely am shaking my head. But like I said, once again, this is definitely disrespectful. What he was able to do for this organization, being an all-star, things of that nature, looking at his resume for this Pittsburgh Pirates team, been one of those loyal players. I still look at his situation similar to how the Phillies did Jimmy Rollins, and how J-Roe was so instrumental to the Phillies and helping them get to a World Series situation and winning one at that. So, I don't know, man. I'm clueless in the situation where they would like to, you know, get enticed on what piece could help them out. I definitely know they'll need outfield help if they do move him, and they're saying they're open to all suggestions. So this is crazy to me. This is definitely crazy.
I don't want him in my division unless he's on my team, but I don't see where he would fit in D.C., so he could stay away from Atlanta, stay away from Miami, stay away from Philadelphia, and stay away from New York.
Obviously, you are the Pittsburgh GM. And it'd be crazy. It depends on what team. I'm just playing, you know, speculation. If any team were in the NL East and trying to make the jump at him and entice the Pittsburgh Pirates. Because I'm not going to lie, a lot of teams around the ML, Major League, being in the ML, would love to have a player of his caliber. I mean, yes, okay, everybody's getting older day by day, but I definitely think you have to respect him not only in the field, but also at the plate as well. Definitely have to respect
him. He loves hitting against national pitching. He's always liked it.
Okay. Your next one. I mean, do you want to talk about the bond situation? I mean, to me, this is pretty interesting that he only was given one season to make this thing go down in Miami. And the honest situation to me is they were injured. They were injured this season, and they still didn't want to, you know, wait till things turned around and have a healthy season. They got rid of Barry Bonds immediately. Your thoughts with them parting ways, and do you think this is a management situation, or do you think that Donnie Baseball went up there and started talking to some people as well?
Supposedly, by what I heard on MLB Network, it was the ownership. It wasn't Donnie. It wasn't nobody. It was more of a mutual between the owner and Barry that he would step down. I don't know. There are people out there talking that maybe there's a small chance he heads back out west to coach or something with the Giants. That'd be something crazy if he goes to the Giants and becomes a hitting coach or something out there. Right? I mean, it's just weird after one season. I mean, really? I mean, I've seen a difference when I watched the Marlins play this year in their hitting, the way, I don't understand it. Maybe he wasn't happy and the ownership seen it, so they just put it out and said that, you know, I don't know. I just think it's very fishy. Maybe he is. Maybe he's been offered something else.
I don't know how they work away from a guy like Barry Bonds, and not to say like he's going to improve every batter's situation, but him and Donnie Baseball together with Giancarlo Stanton, and watching the way Stanton has been belting balls out of the park, to at least see them together for at least 2 to 3 seasons, if they didn't get better while they were all, well, not all, but watching Stanton be healthy, then I could see the move. But one season with him with the ball and chain record is a whole other situation in itself. I guess this is where everything lies in their patience. Being down there in Miami and them moving on, I want to see how this does end up panning out. And, of course, I don't think this takes anything away from Stanton, but all that Barry has been through, seeing different pitches, all that Donnie Baseball has been through, seeing different pitchers and pitches as well, I think they would be stronger if you kept the three-headed monster together. But I don't think Barry Bonds would be jobless for long. It would definitely be fitting if he went somewhere to, like, the Giants or – the Pirates, but to say the least, I definitely think a team that's struggling to put men on the pad, I think they'll definitely go after a guy like Barry Bonds and let their free swingers talk to him and see what, you know, jewels they could get out of him, what they could provide to the team moving forward.
Yeah, I mean, I'm very interested to see if he goes anywhere else.
What team other than the Giants do you think he'll see fit?
Maybe Colorado. I mean, it's got to be – to entice him, he's got to have somebody on – you know what? I just thought of something. Who's managing in D.C.?
Oh, wow, Dusty, huh? Him and Dusty together?
Who is managing in D.C.? Dusty Baker. And Dusty Baker and Barry had a very good relationship when he played in D.C. or when he played in San Francisco.
Mm-hmm.
When he played in San Francisco and they were really, really, I mean, they were close. Now, do I see it happening? I doubt it, because we have already had a very good hitting coach. But if something happens, keep your eye out on that. And that'd be fun if he jumps ship and goes somewhere else in the same division.
Plus, if you think about it, you get another left-handed batter in front of Barry Bonds, another left-handed batter. It'd be interesting to see him and Bryce talk about what to do. That would be crazy in itself.
Could you imagine him being a hitting coach with Bryce Harper to teach Bryce even more? Even some of the younger players that we've got, Turner, Rendon. I could go on for that. My God, that'd be lethal. If he could teach.
You got to stay healthy, especially Bryce. Bryce has to stay on the field. Bryce has to stay on that field.
But I don't know. It just dawned on me, Dusty Baker's there. I mean, I don't see it happening because we have two good hitting coaches, but that'd be interesting. It's got to be something that entices him.
That's something that we're going to have to wait and see because this is fresh. I mean, this is fresh off the stove. So, Barry Bonds, like I said, I don't think Barry Bonds will stay jobless long. I just wonder what team ends up picking him up. It definitely would be huge if the Nationals could get him there, especially with the bats that they do have there and him and Dusty trying to work together to bring a championship to D.C. That'd be crazy in itself. Okay. It kind of ties in together with, you know, Poppy and everything that was going on with the reports and now they're talking about the Hall of Fame ballot, things of that nature, with Mark McGwire being a name attached to the Hall ballot. This is crazy in itself. Are they starting to break ground on names that were, you know, involved in steroid use, things of that nature? Because you got Mark McGwire, who is one player that was, you know, targeted or looked at upon as being probably the poster boy of this situation. Well, he's one of the few that are a part of the ballot as well.
If they let Mark McGwire into the Hall of Fame, then you have to let Barry Bonds in. I'm going to say it right now. You need to let Pete Rose in then. You need to let Jose Canseco in there.
Do you think Jose Canseco is a Hall of Famer, though?
Do you not remember watching him in Oakland?
He helped
the World Series and win some.
Right, but I don't – not more than like a guy like Rafael Palmeiro that they're holding out or Roger Clemens that they're holding out. I think those names would get more precedent to me than Jose Canseco. If Jose gets in there, it'd be interesting. I think he has a little under 400 home runs on his career. Of course, we all remember the Bash Brothers, him and Mark McGwire, and the championships they were able to win in the late 80s. But I think that if he gets there, I'd be surprised, even if they were to start pulling in players that were part of this steroid era from the mid-80s to, you know, I guess till now. I can't even say till the early 2000s, the players are still using it. So, until now.
I don't know. If you don't want Jose, then don't put McGwire in. Because, really, you think about what did Mark McGwire really do until he started doing the steroids and got big when he went to St. Louis. That's when he started hitting, again, all these home runs. Same way with Sammy Sosa. I just don't see it. They had them years when they started using them pills and then or whatever they used, needles, whatever, and they started mashing the ball 400-some feet. So
right.
I don't see it personally.
And I forgot about Sammy Sosa. That's another name that we could throw in there. I mean, Sammy Sosa. You also got Manny Ramirez, too. I mean, this list goes on and on players that are being held out to me, I think deserve to be in the Hall of Fame. But I think one way or another, the committee is being, you know, stubborn about letting these players in. So I think they're trying to make them work to get that. That's to say the least.
We had enough. I know. I completely forgot. Real quick, we talked about David Ortiz playing his last game. There are two other you could possibly say Hall of Famers. The one will definitely probably get in. The other one, not sure. But you think about Ichiro Suzuki. He's the one that will probably get in. He will probably end up retiring after this year. And Ryan Howard has played his last game in Philadelphia. Now, will another team pick Ryan Howard up is a question. Me, if a team picks him up, it's got to be an American League team. He has to be able to play just DH.
Right.
Ryan Howard's not been the same since. I don't know if it was a playoff game or if it was the last game of the regular season when he tore that Achilles. He's never been the same since at all. I mean, I think he should still play if he gets on the right team.
I definitely agree. I sure enough agree. If this is the situation that's presented for either one of these players, well, I know this. Ichiro, it's tough for me to, like play the yin and the yang or the bad guy in a situation, but it's like Ichiro had a hell of an MLB career, but then midway through the season he passed Pete Rose's hit total, but that was including his hits that he had in the league over in Japan. But still, yeah, there's not too many players that have come up with 3,000 or more hits in their career. So I definitely think, you know, Ichiro's situation is there. Ryan Howard, I feel bad for Ryan Howard, not because Philadelphia doesn't want to sign him, it's because he's had an injury-riddled career ever since the second visit that they had in the postseason to the World Series, and he got hurt. And after that, he really wasn't himself. Of course, if you left something over the plate hanging, he'll definitely get it out of the park, but it's tough for him. I wonder what team will end up jumping at him. I would not like to hear him have his career ended this short, because we're watching a lot of players that are in the MLB right now that are around his age, and a lot of them their careers are slowing down to say the least. So I wonder if this is a little, you know, getch at these guys, or do things get better as time goes on, and especially if a piece like, you know, we're talking about, it ends up moving. So that's big in itself. So, Ryan, I'm wishing for the best. I don't know if Philadelphia does hang on to you. I'm actually agreeing with Tommy. I think they do end up letting you go, but I don't want to see this be the end of your career. I don't. Okay, any more topics other than the only thing I see right now is the Diamondback situation, how they basically let everybody go, or do we get moving?
And we can keep moving. The baby backs aren't even worth talking about.
it's just funny how they got rid of everybody. They got rid of everybody. They were not playing around. So
they signed Frankie, and he pitched what, one full month combined?
Yeah, I mean, but still, yeah, they weren't able to produce for years right now in the NL West. I mean, you got to do something. I do understand where they're coming from. They got to shake it up somehow, but who knows? Who knows? It is interesting, but they cleaned house. They cleaned house, and I know that they're trying to revitalize the ballpark and bring new ventures in there, but they're starting from the ground up. I don't think if this is an instant jump for them to get to the front of the NL West, because they're still top heavy to me. I still think that they're looking up at the Dodgers and the Giants, which both of these teams are making the postseason this year. I don't think they'll fall off the wagon too much. So the Diamondbacks have work to do themselves. And we just were talking about both the Padres and the Rockies. They're going to have their hands full trying to compete all throughout the division. All throughout.
We got a show tomorrow.
Yeah, I'm setting that up. I'm definitely setting up the cookout because I would get into selections if we didn't call the number 917-889-9592.
We got postseason baseball wild card starting tomorrow. We've got Orioles going to Toronto. I think that's going to be a very interesting wild card game.
Yeah, we gotta save that. We gotta save that. Back. We gotta get back. Get away from it. Okay. Your thoughts on the games from yesterday? What surprised you? What didn't? What teams are making ground? I mean, your thoughts on what's going on across the league?
Are you talking about the No Fun League?
Yes, I'm talking about the NFL.
Okay. I'm going to be critical, and I'm sure I'll have someone call in here and tell me I'm an idiot. I'm sure. But, Ty, I'm going to start here. I got a question, and I'm going to have a question for everybody at Sports City. If you got an answer for me, please call in, because me and Mama Duke are still confused and still ain't figured this out yet. I talked to her earlier today, this morning. Explain to me how Duke Johnson fumbles a football. He gets up with the football, shows it to the referees. They look at him. And then they look in the pile and give the ball to Washington. Anybody, if you know what I'm talking about, please call me and explain to me. This is what's really making me frustrated with the NFL. Not even in time. Remember when we were picking games and we were talking about this New England game and I said something's fishy, that they're not going to let New England win this football game?
Correct. Yeah.
There was
twice,
not once, but twice in the first half when New England was driving. There was one, I believe it, the first time was late in the first quarter. They had a third and one, third and four, two, whatever. They ran, snapped the ball. The officials waited for about 2 seconds, seeing that New England was going to pick up the first down, blew the whistle. They did this twice and said that the officials were not in the right spots. Wait a minute, what? Twice. They blew the whistle, had the clock run, and then turned around and blew it and said the officials weren't. Now, explain to me another thing. The Houston Texans were hosting Tennessee. Tennessee lined up to punt. Houston blocks it, recovers it. They blow the whistle and said that there were too many men on the field for Houston. Then 2 seconds later, blew it down and said, sorry, our bad. He was off the field. I'm telling you, Vegas has something to do with a lot of this. These lines are playing too much parts. That in the NFL is too fishy, too much stuff going on. I'm still waiting for an answer why they gave that ball. To go back to the first one, I want to know why they gave the ball to Washington when Duke picked it up and was holding it in the air. I cannot answer that.
And it's for City. He warned me to the situation. He was like, Ty, I'm trying to tell you, there's something funny going on. So I'm like, I didn't, because I sure wasn't watching that game at that point in time. So he sent me the message to see the fumble and watch Duke get up instantly, and Duke had the ball. And you see the refs look at him, and they're still fishing through the crew, I mean the pile, and they just said that the Redskins had the ball. I was like, whoa, like how do they determine that? I know I can't answer that. I have no answer for that. Like, I'm stumped and clueless to that. That definitely should have been the Browns' ball. There's no way I can answer that. The Patriots situation, I think the Patriots actually went through the motions as much as possible. If they picked up a win, then yes. Their leading receiver yesterday was Martellus Bennett. Martellus Bennett was having a Gronkowski type of game yesterday. He was having a Gronk type of game yesterday. I think they were going through the motions to get everybody prepared to get ready for number 12 to be back on that field. To me, like I said, I knew something was up. I think the Bills will actually get out of there with a win. I didn't think that they would, one, shut the Patriots out, and two, beat them on their home field. But the shutout is actually bigger than me and myself. Like, of course, just a week ago, they just shut out the Texans, and then they come up to back at the same scene of the crime with a team of lesser value or less potency in the Buffalo Bills, and the Bills actually storm off of that field with a shutout in their own right. And, of course, here you go with Rex Ryan talking junk and saying that he has insight on the Patriots organization. Stop it. This is what makes me look at Rex Ryan kind of, you know, crooked, because it's like you really want to get the Patriots started. You really want them to have bulletin board material before they play you guys again. Rex, stop. Stop. It's hilarious.
Ryan's getting old.
Huh?
Rex Ryan's getting old. Just you see the shit that he pulled when he acted like a media guy from Buffalo? When they were, I think it was Amendola they were interviewing, and he tried to see if he was going to be the starting quarterback or who was. Come on, Rex. This shit, it's getting old. It was funny at first. Now it's getting old.
He knows that they won't harm him, or especially a team like the Patriots. Only one that he goes back and forth with is Tom Brady. Brady wasn't even a part of that game. Hell, Brady wasn't even in America at the given time this game was going down. Brady was in Europe while this game was going down. So Brady is now back at practice. This will be crazy to see how they do come out of the gate up against the team that me and Tommy were just talking about, the Cleveland Browns. Do they start up a losing streak, or do they come out and throttle Cleveland? That will be interesting in itself. A lot of interesting stuff went down as of yesterday, too. I wanted to see how Tommy talked about one thing. Julio Jones goes off for 300 yards receiving up against the Panthers defense. Now, me personally, I'm frustrated because my fantasy football team, my defense is the Panthers defense, in which this game, they got a pick six. And in almost every game, they get the ball and almost score. This defense scores the ball. The Panthers defense scores the ball, but still, yet the jury is still out in, including Josh Norman calling them out and saying, you get what you pay for. In the words of Bart Scott, they couldn't stop a nosebleed. They were giving up passway after passway. For them to watch Julio go crazy on them, this has to be stunning to the Carolina Panther organization. And, oh, yeah, let me ice the cake for you, Carolina. Your quarterback suffered a concussion, so Cam Newton is out with concussion symptoms. This can get dirtier pretty soon. Tommy, your thoughts on this situation?
Carolina's awful. They have no defense to save their life. They're in the same category as my Baltimore Ravens, have no corners to save their life. And we're going to get into that too, Ty. Carolina, I really think they should have kept Josh. Why get rid of him? Personally, they should have kept him. The Cam concussion. Did you see the hit, Ty?
He actually scored on that play, if I'm not mistaken. I think he got to the goal line.
He was running. He was scrambling and took off to the goal line. I know he's a runner, and but come on. Really? You're not going to throw a flag or do something. Dude came up and dove at his head. Come on. You're not going to hit him low or something like that. No, you take off and dive at the dude's head. I don't know what Cam did to piss the league off, but he did something.
No, I know what he did. He was dabbing on the whole league last year, and that it was cool to keep scoring touchdowns and handing football to kids in the front row. I think that's what got everybody frustrated. But it still doesn't call for the helmet-to-helmet contact that he's been getting. And this actually ends up knocking him out. And Derek Anderson is now running the show in Carolina until we hear otherwise if Cam is able to give it a go. This is extremely big for the Carolina Panthers.
As bad as that defense was, Carolina still had a chance to win that football game.
Right. They finally come to play in the second half. It took them that long to get things turned around. But I tip my hat to Derek Anderson to actually start putting points up on the board because things did start to look very grim for the Carolina Panthers. Very grim. But they do have to get it together. I do agree with Josh Norman that they get what they paid for. And they're not getting the same responsibilities as Josh Norman having on the outside. I don't think there's any way in hell that Julio would have went off for 300 yards up against Josh. I think he definitely would have got his catches. He probably would have had a good yardage day, but 300, that's tough. That says a lot to a defense that just made the damn Super Bowl eight months ago. 8 months ago, they were in the Super Bowl, the same defense. Says a lot.
Do you think Carolina turns this around and makes the playoffs, or do you think – I mean, I know there's, what, 12 games left, and it's early, but do you think they turn it around, or do you think it's too far down?
I think Carolina's in trouble. As fun as it is to watch that defense, as much as I think Calvin Benjamin could provide to that passing attack, as much as I thought Chet Ginn could actually, you know, take the top off of the defense and make that secondary chase after him, nothing has happened. Jonathan Stewart once again is injured. I can't believe it. And Tolbert is there, and there's only so much damage Tolbert could do. To me, Tolbert is a short yardage running back, so it confuses me on what he's able to bring to the game, you know, from 20 to 20, from the 20-yard line to the other 20-yard line, so. We'll actually have to see how that ends up panning out. But I definitely think that the red meter light is on for the Carolina Panthers.
I agree. I think it might be done. Because, I mean, they still have Atlanta one more time. And they still got New Orleans twice. I mean, who do they stop it? Throwing the football, personally. I don't see this defense stopping anybody.
Hey, maybe the Saints, man. I don't know, man. Maybe the Saints. Maybe. That's the only team I can think of. Or Tampa Bay. The way the Tampa Bay is falling short, Sports City, I apologize. I do not think I'll actually roll with Jameis Winston and those Bucks again because they got pummeled. They're getting pummeled now. Now I'm starting to throw questions around Jameis as well. If Jameis could actually start to target the big boy that he has on the outside, or he will continue to slide and slump as well as a starter for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. Okay.
I told
I know
you about
Jameis,
Tampa.
Right. No, he did. He did. I give him credit. I'll let you get into the Raiders-Ravens game because that was one of the more, you know, nail-biting games of Sunday afternoon, and then we'll get into the pick for the game of the Monday night game as well.
Yeah. Where do I start with this? Oh, God-awful. I've said this for the last 3 years. I said it on this show for a year. Because I've almost been on the show for a year. It might actually be a year now. Ozzie Newsome, Baltimore Ravens, do me a favor. Set Joe Flacco down. Explain to him that you need some money. Because if not, we're going to get torched again. This team has no corners except Jimmy Smith.
Mm-hmm.
That's it. We have one corner. The other goofball, Wright, couldn't stop a fly if he had to. They put receiver, whoever he was lined up with, they ran a nine route, they ran a post route, and he wasn't nowhere near him. This is ridiculous. Find a corner, Ozzy. Also, when you find your corner, put some money in the offensive line. Oakland, I told you I wanted a defense. Show me something. You didn't have to do it yesterday. You could have waited and did it next week. Cleo Mack, Bruce Irving lived in that backfield against Flacco. I bet you Flacco had his four kids bringing him ice and his wife, because that man had to have been sore, because that offensive line couldn't block a fly either. We're in trouble. If we play anybody with a good passing game and a pass rush, we're in trouble.
Okay, this is one question I have to you. How the hell did they leave Crabtree open in the back of the end zone to decide the game? I just don't understand it. I don't understand it. That baffles me.
Right. It was there all day long. All he had to do was keep running a nine route. Right can't guard me. And Ty, you know how my feet, knees are. They're awful. I think I could catch passes against him. And it doesn't help that we take the lead, Wallace catches a pass, turns around and spikes the ball, and they throw a flag for unsportsmanlike conduct. Really? It's not like he knew that the Oakland Raider linebacker was laying right there. His back was to him. All he did was turn around and throw the ball down and spike it.
Mm-hmm.
This is where I get aggravated when they call this shit. Because this is the same thing. We actually should have lost to Cleveland when they threw a personal foul against Terrell Pryor when he wasn't even attempting to throw the ball at the guy's head. Wright was just on the ground because he can't guard nobody. And he was trying to get up. So actually, we should have two losses.
Understandable. Like I said, I'm frustrated too. I definitely try to ask for Karma to leave me alone, but she definitely started giving me a Sunday afternoon massage and let me feel the pain. Speaking of which, on Matt Stafford, until you can prove to me that you could be big enough to hold that city down yourself, it won't happen. It won't happen. I'm gonna continue to stress that situation in front of Stafford. He threw a pick in the red zone. He was going toward Golden Tate. Nobody was aware of the pass. Golden Tate didn't even know that the ball was thrown. Defender picked it off, and luckily Stafford was closer to him, or that could have been a pick six for real. Okay. So we
and
do
people
have to match
still
up.
Think Joe Watson, he's better than Joe Flacco. Please.
Who made that statement?
I don't remember who called in here and said that. It was one of your Detroit buddies. I remember that much.
Okay, fair enough. So we have the Monday night matchup right now. The New York Giants are visiting the Minnesota Vikings. Both of them are which playing some interesting ball. Do the Giants knock off the Vikings for their first defeat? Can Odell Beckham stay away from a kicking net? Does he not harm himself? Or does Sam Bradford – don't laugh, you're silly. It's not funny. Odell, I respect you. I respect you, Odell. Or does Sam Bradford continue to keep this ship rolling for the Vikings and keeping them unbeaten in Minnesota? Tommy, your thoughts on the game, who do you like and why?
Well, I'm already on record saying I'm never picking the Giants again, because every time I pick them, they lose. I mean, if you go by the way everything has played out so far, Minnesota should win. They're at home. That place is loud by what we've seen in week one. But too many fishy things have happened this week. I mean, there's Baltimore loses. There's an undefeated team gone. New England lost. They're the undefeated team. So why not? I mean, I'll take Minnesota. I think they should win. Their defensive line should eat Eli Manning for dinner. I'll take them, but I would not be shocked at all to see if the Giants won this. Would not.
Okay. This is a very interesting matchup, but me being the NFC North guy that I am, let's go Big Blue. I need the Giants to knock the Minnesota Vikings off just to keep these guys within range. These dudes are playing excellent football at this point. They are doing this as a cohesive unit without Adrian Peterson. They are playing some of the best defensive football in the league, and their offense is clicking while their quarterback is getting used to what's being thrown to him from the playbook. I'm going with Big Blue because I want to. Okay. We are at the tail end of the show, unless you have something else that you would like to speak about. Otherwise, we need a plug, close out, shout out, anything that you'd like to promote as we shut it down at the wrap-up.
Yeah, I literally just seen where San Francisco's middle linebacker, Bolden, is out for the year. That's big for that San Francisco defense. Big.
He had an Achilles tear, and the crazy part about it is, go to SportsCityChefs.com. We have the interview there with him as well. I just had to get that plug in. But he is out for the season once again. 2 years ago, he tore his knee up in that NFC Championship game up against Seattle, and here he goes again with a torn Achilles. This is huge for San Francisco. This could spell doom for San Francisco if they don't get this thing turned around as soon as Tommy, anything that you like to plug, close out, or shut it down here at the wrap-up?
Good show, Ty. Let's go, Nationals. Beat L.A. Beat L.A. Beat L.A.
We'll see how that goes down. This is going to be pretty interesting. We will get into a lot of this tomorrow at the cookout. The grill will be wide open. SportsCityChefs.com. Check out the website, the interviews, the blogs, the chefs. Don't forget about that interview with Naval Bowman. Also, Jason Pierre-Paul, the interview with Jason Pierre-Paul is up there, too. We got all of that, man. Go check that out. Like I said, I'm feeling some type of way. My Hurricanes are getting top 10 consideration. I love that. I love by the coaches now. But I want to be thoroughbred top 10 and doing damage. But everything relies on everything this Saturday, man. We fall this Saturday. It's all for naught. I think this is a huge game this Saturday, man. I want to close my eyes until Saturday comes along. Hold on, relax. What were you saying? Because I want to hear what you said before we close it down.
I said it's only be one loss. We're fine. We're still winning the Coastal, but I'm not worried about Saturday. We're gonna show them what the true Hurricanes can do.
On that note, tell a friend to tell a friend that it's the chefs again. And if they don't know, now they know.
I feel it coming in the air. Yeah. Hear the screams from everywhere.
Yeah.
I'm addicted to the smell.
I'm ready.
It's a dangerous love affair.
Come on.
Can't be scared when it goes down. Got a problem, tell me now. Only thing that's on my mind.
Allegiance, it's your season. All black, everything. Black cards, all black, everything. And our girls are black birds, riding with they cylinder. I get more in depth if you boys really real enough. This is not familiar, I'll explain later. But for now, let me get back to this paper. I'm a couple bands down and I'm trying to get back. I gave Doug a grip, I lost a flip of 5 stacks. Yeah, I'm talking 5, 6, 0, 0, 0, 0, 0. Back to running surface realm, niggas, now we squared up.